communities, doing whatever we can.
Teresa Rayford, thank you for being with me today, and thank you for your work in this panel and all your work for education and activism for justice in the beloved community here in Portland.
Well, thank you, and I'm looking forward to this event.
That panel discussion with Teresa Rayford, Joanne Hardesty, and Ibrahim Mubarak is called The Dream Under Siege. It's open to the public and will be held Tuesday, January 17th at 7 p.m. at Southminster Presbyterian Church in Beaverton. The website for more information is southmin.org. You've been listening to The Beloved Community, Resources for Activism. The Beloved Community is heard on the second Friday of each month on KBOO. Also catch my weekly show, Progressive Spirit. Both shows are on stations across the country and are distributed through the Pacifica Radio Network. The website for more information and links to podcasts is progressivespirit.net. I'm John Shuck. Be well.
Staring right at 2000.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of First 100 Days, United in Resistance. First 100 Days is a resource to support creative resistance to the Trump regime and takes place January 14th and 15th at the Portland Institute for Contemporary Art. There will be workshops on preparing for protests, interrupting oppression, creative protest tactics, and more, with the goal of strengthening our communities by channeling outrage into dynamic projects based on a deeper analysis of anti-colonial, anti-capitalist, anti-racist, and feminist histories. Again, that's First 100 Days, January 14th and 15th, at the Portland Institute for Contemporary Art, 415 Southwest 10th Avenue, Suite 300 in Portland. More information on the event can be found at kboo.fm, on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
And this is KBOO Portland. You're listening. Well, this is Air Cascadia. My name is Sam. I'm the engineer. And Chris couldn't join us in the studio this morning, so we're going to bring her right on by phone. And we're going to have a guest, Diane Lund-Musikant. And Chris, why don't you tell us more about who Diane is and why she's on the air today?
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, January 13th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio. Today, we are going to be speaking with Diane Lund-Musikant. Many of our listeners are very familiar with the Lund Report. This is, Diane put the Lund in the Lund Report, as it were. I am speaking to you from Four Wheel Drive. I'm living in an extreme transportation experience out here on I-84, parts of which are navigable and parts of which aren't. I'm on the part of which that's not particularly navigable. So before we get to Diane, a little bit of weather, this is probably going to persist into the weekend. Clear skies, very cold temperatures, and by Sunday we may begin to see a break in it. Until then, stay warm, and whatever you do, try to stay off of I-84. It's an unpleasant experience. If you hear noises in the background, that's the accident, actually, and Also, the roads are, whatever they put down, feels like you're driving on rocks. So try to stay out as possible again. And if you're on a bicycle, be very, very careful because it's dangerous out there for cyclists in particular. Right now, we're actually approaching Cabo, but we also need to give as much time as we possibly can to our guest today, Diane Lund, musicant of the London Report. Diane, welcome to the KBOO Airways. It's so good to have you back on the show.
Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Well, you must be, this is going to be quite a year for the Lund Report. Already we see this repeal and replace argument beginning to play out. What do you think they have in mind, if anything? What do you think the Republicans, because they've had plenty of time to figure out a plan, and they certainly have been vocal about their support for this plan. Is there, what would this plan look like?
I wish I could tell your listeners what it would look like, but, you know, I think the Republicans, you know, have in mind maybe something like a health savings account or stripped down benefit plans. I mean, it's really very difficult to understand and know what they're, because they haven't been forthright about their intentions at all. But Republicans have always wanted to, you know, have less richer health plans, fewer options. You know, it's unlikely that they will get rid of the individual mandate. They'll probably keep some kind of a mandate on the books, but with, you know, much more, much fewer benefits allowed than under the Affordable Care Act, which has a huge list of benefits that all the health plans have to offer. So I would think that would be at least one thing that would come down. And then, like I said, people could basically have more use of health savings accounts, which is something the Republicans have touted for years. Otherwise, I mean, it's just a wait and see right now.
Well, the health savings accounts, that's something that can take many forms. It is a possibility. I've even heard that might be incorporated into a public banking system, which might make these entities a little bit stronger and a little bit more understandable. But the very poor, well, that's who we're really talking about here. The wealthy have never had a problem, never will. But we're talking about very people who are poor, very poor, lower middle class.
Talking about the expansion of Medicaid, which, you know, brought millions of people onto, you know, health insurance who didn't have it before, because the Affordable Care Act allowed states to increase pay-for coverage for people who earned up to 133% of the federal poverty level, which meant 400,000 Oregonians basically were able to join the Oregon Health Plan, join Medicaid, you know, under the Affordable Care Act. So, you know, it's unknown whether that will happen or not. Whereas we speak, the state is getting ready to make a major announcement. I don't know what that is. It's supposed to be happening within the next hour. It could be that the federal waiver for the Oregon Health Plan has been approved, has been renewed. I would suggest that your listeners pay attention to both the Lund Report and local news to find out. Basically, I got the word of that about an hour or two ago, that an announcement is forthcoming, a major exciting announcement. So I do not know what the nature of that is right now. But I'm suspecting it could be approval of the waiver, which could mean that Oregon could, you know, basically keep, you know, the coverage for people right now, including those on Medicaid.
So that's the federal waiver. That was going to be my next question. That's a federal waiver. That would be essentially Oregon would not be what we currently have would not be tampered with.
I also want to draw your listeners' attention. You have mentioned, you know, the single payer option.
That's what we want to talk about. Yeah.
I don't know if people know what's going on, but last year the Oregon Health Authority authorized the RAND Corporation, which is an independent think tank in California, to do an analysis to see whether a single payer system, you know, the effectiveness of that. And that report should be coming out later this month in early February, so legislators can have a discussion about whether to move forward or what to do. So that's something else that people should pay attention to.
And prepare, too, to raise strong united voice on behalf of single payer, because if we don't adopt a single payer, or as close as possible as we could get to it, and they don't have to even call it that. They could call it anything they wanted. They could call it a basket of potatoes. It wouldn't matter.
I'm not saying that, you know, the Lund Report doesn't take a position on this. I'm just letting your listeners know that that's something that will be discussed during the legislative session that gets underway in February. So it's something to pay attention to see. Senator Michael Dembro has been advocating this, along with Representative Barbara Smith Warner, both of Portland, both of whom are Democrats. So keep your eyes on what they may do, because they're very concerned about the current healthcare system and profits and whether people are getting appropriate access. So they're the ones to pay attention to, okay?
When will the RAND report come out?
It was supposed to come out in December, but they're still working on it. It will come out either very late in January or early February, according to my sources. So, and it's not just looking at single payer, it's looking at other potential solutions as well. I don't know. I don't have any more knowledge about it. It's just something that will be discussed, and the RAND Corporation is, you know, a think tank, independent think tank. So it's not going to be a biased report in any way, shape, or manner.
So the Democrats and Republicans have come to a point where they're barely able to communicate with one another, barely speak the same legislative language. How much communication, how much cooperation and collegial effort can we expect?
Well,
because that's what it's going to take, I think. Wouldn't you say?
I would think there'd be a tremendous amount of lobbying pressure from the major insurance companies in Oregon to not move ahead with that. But I suspect if anything is going to change, it won't change immediately. It would take, you know, probably another task force or more, you know, looking into what could happen. But there are a lot of advocates of a single payer system. Like I said, the Lund Report doesn't have a position on that or independent, but there are a lot of people who basically have been working very hard to make sure that this study be done and favor a single payer system. Whether that happens or not, I cannot begin to, you know, figure out whether that could be. There'd be a lot of political pressure, but we don't know if it were to happen. For example, there could be a pilot done. There could be all kinds of strategies, but it will not have, even though the report is coming out and the legislature is going to discuss it, we can't expect any changes in the near future. It would be something that would be discussed and deliberated, and it's hard to know. I mean, change comes very slow.
I know that you, the Lund Report focuses, is of course on the healthcare system in Oregon, in many states, the insurance companies have pulled out. Some states, names escape me right now, that there's only one major healthcare insurance company in that some states. That's troubling, and I don't think.
Oregonians have a lot more options than most states. I mean, we have several large insurance companies. The smaller ones have pulled out, as you mentioned, but what's happened is that the insurance companies are now basically working together with the hospitals who have employed physicians. So we have large healthcare systems that are basically driving the market. For example, you have Legacy Health System and Pacific Source Health Insurance that merged together recently. So health insurers are aligning more closely with hospitals and physicians to control costs and to basically, you know, provide more quality health care. Whether that's good or bad depends a lot on your experience, depends how people, you know, get care. And that's the bottom line.
And who regulates them? I've often, we hear, of course, is on the books, there's all sorts of, we are assured that the healthcare insurance companies are, in fact, regulated entities, and they don't have free rein to
operate in the marketplace completely. We were unrestricted. What are the Republicans going? How are they going to approach regulation? Is this going to be the insurance companies going to be entirely deregulated?
I think that the insurance commissioner Laura Calley has done whatever not always maybe what benefits the consumers, but her role is to make sure that we have a stable insurance market. And that's difficult because, cost premiums are going high. There are a lot of high deductible health plans. So it can be very hard for individuals or small business to find affordable coverage. And if the Affordable Care Act goes away in large part, it's going to be even more difficult. I think you're seeing our Democratic congressmen and senators standing up in Washington, D.C., and I, would encourage people to, encourage them to keep fighting. And also, we have one Republican congressman, Greg Walden, encourage him as well to, fight for the Affordable Care Act.
I
just found out the Oregon Medicaid waiver has been secured. The news just came out. And I really have to go. I'm sorry, but I have to go. I have to
just
work
before we let you go, could you one more time just state that so listeners make sure listeners get that? That is breaking news, and I want to make sure people understand that what has just happened.
Yes, it just happened. Breaking news. The Oregon Medicaid waiver has been approved. Governor Kate Brown announced that today. They will have for another 5 years. It will continue coverage for 1 million low-income Oregonians.
So, Diane, thank you so much
for
that.
This happened 2 minutes ago. They just made this announcement.
And there will be, this will all be in the Lund report, so you can
find
out.
It'll be on all the major news channels. It'll be on all the radio stations. It, you know.